Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Lori Peters of the Happiness Hangout, a place to support and grow your loving partnerships. And today we are going to be talking with a guest, and the topic is going to be awakening the how-tos, the energetics of finding true love and how to heal your energy system and how to help if you're in a couple be happier. And even if you're not in a couple, we're going to talk about that too. So we're going to talk about energy quite a bit today. So I think you'll really enjoy it. I'm going to tell you a little bit about our guest. We have Carolyn Eberle on today. She is a pioneer and innovator. She's a former DC policy advocate for the underprivileged. Carolyn has been researching and exploring the world of healing for over 30 years. She lived and worked in Boulder, Colorado, Cambodia, Nepal, Bangladesh, and parts of Africa. Yet the role best suited for Carolyn is that of spiritual teacher and leader of the deep, profound, and magical ways of helping others create true meaning and value in their lives. She has an MA as a licensed professional counselor, a certified massage therapist, and she is also a trauma expert, mindfulness practitioner, and is a certified Chi Kung, Healing Touch, and Reiki. So she obviously has several different certifications and a lot of experience in helping with healing. 8 years ago, Carolyn founded the Mind Energy Body School of Transformation and offers a sophisticated certification coaching training program like none other. She works intuitively, yet grounds her orientation in neurobiology, brain science, consciousness technologies, and evidence-based practices. Students can transform their pain by developing their unique inner gifts and can accomplish grounded empowerment and personal freedom. So Carolyn offers personalized private sessions, home study programs, and as you heard before, a certification coaching program. Carolyn Eberle, welcome to the Happiness Hangout.
Oh, it's so good to be here. I feel so honored to have this opportunity to speak to your listeners.
Well, thank you so much. This is going to be a really fascinating show, I'm sure. So I always like to get started out by you telling our listeners, how did you get to come into this field of work? Like, what is your personal experience that brought you into this?
Well, I just love that this is called the Happiness Hangout, because the reason why I studied all this stuff is because I wasn't happy. And I knew there had to be a way to happiness. And there had to be a way where the difficult life experiences didn't have to get you down. Instead, they could be an uplifting experience. Or as I say, pain does transform to happiness, joy, and wisdom. So I had to figure out how to be happy. And so I studied a lot of different things, and I feel like I've come up with some really good answers on how to live in this sometimes challenging world and yet cultivate happiness throughout our day.
And, you know, happiness is so elusive, because what makes you happy, what makes me happy, what makes our friends happy can be all different things. But, you know, there are certain things that are pretty much the norm for human beings. And I know you work with people in a lot of pain. And so, you know, helping them with that part of their world is very special. I really honor you and appreciate you for doing that work. For those people out there who have been through that, and really it wasn't their fault, they need to get to the other side of things. So I support that, you know, every which way. I tend to focus on relationships, but we know that we've got to get ourselves right before we can be in a phenomenal relationship, before we let the right person come in, or if we have let the right person come in, are we allowing that right person to have the best relationship with us? So this is going to be very interesting, and I just I want to start out by talking about healthy relationships.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about in your book the wiring of our brains, our psychobiology, you know, the stuff, quote unquote, if I could use that word, the stuff that is an absolute, that has been studied by scientists, doctors, that couples are wired a certain way. We can be wired to be under or over responders. Tell us about how couples are wired.
Yeah, so, you know, I've been married 33 years, and, you know, my...
Wow.
Like most marriages, not all of that, all those 33 years have been blessed. But there are some helpful hints that if you understand some basics about how relationships are wired based on how, it's called the attachment system. It's the neurobiology of how we were programmed from, you know, young, strong survival instincts on how to protect ourselves. So we're mammals. We're not like a turtle that can just go into the ocean and take care of ourselves. We needed to bond with our parents. And so some of the things that helped me in my marriage and make it work better is understanding that the way that I bonded and created connection and relationship got set kind of like in a certain pattern, where I would over-respond to emotional situations. Whereas my husband, the over-responders often are called waves because they are like a wave, ocean, emotional ocean wave that happens. And it can be overwhelming for those that are not wired the same way. Like my husband, one way of looking at it, he's more of an island. He under-responds. So once I understood that all relationships have either a wave or an island, an under-responder or an over-responder, and that became normalized, then you can say, wow, how does my over-responsiveness and my over-emotionality affect my beloved husband's way of being in the world? And basically, it scares the living daylights of islands or under-responders. So what I had to learn how to do is kind of tone myself down and meet my husband where he could be met. And he, on the other hand, had to kind of up his responsiveness and connect to me in a way that I could be met more often. So if you look at your relationship, kind of assess whether you're an over-responder and you might scare the other person and they want to run away, like get on an island and separate from you, or if you're an over-responder, and or if you're an under-responder and you need to then be more present with your partner. So understanding
that... I've always heard that, you know, women are... 75% of women make decisions based on feelings, and 75% of men do... make decisions based on thinking. Not that women don't think and men don't feel, it's just that that's how we make our decisions. So is what you're saying about the wiring, that is biological. You feel that that is most men and women? Are you saying that most,
it's so
most men
typical.
Get over and,
yeah.
Under and most women get over?
Stereotypically, women tend to be over-responders and men tend to be under-responders, but every relationship is different. And there are men that are over-responders. But you're right, there is a stereotype. And a lot of it deals with, you know, human beings are born with strong survival instincts. One of the strongest is based on a baby's ability to survive and seek nutrients and protection. So the way, because the woman's brain, emotional brain, is highly developed, or as they say, kind of like superhighways, and the emotional brain of a male typically is more like backcountry roads, we each develop different strategies in order to get our caretaker, our parent, to get our needs met. And those patterns are called attachment patterns. And so there's a way that we can either be kind of anxious in our attachment pattern, like the emotional part, or avoidant in our attachment pattern. nobody's
well, that's
perfect.
The biological part of it, you're saying. Like,
yeah.
That's how we are different.
That's how we are different. Yeah, yeah. Mm. If a mom was really able to attune to the child, that child is more in the center. It doesn't have to over-respond or under-respond. And so when the child grows up and marries somebody, one of the other strategies, not only to notice if you're an over- or an under-responder or an island or a wave, but also notice how do you attune to your partner in a way that helps them feel safe and connected to you. So if you can, one, kind of notice what role you play in the relationship, a wave or an island, an over or under responder, and if you can then start reading your partner better and go, wow, when I over respond, it scares the other person. They tend mm-hmm. to want to run away or fight. Then you can kind of be more aware of how do you connect to your partner in a way, they call it, clinically speaking, we call it in a healthy, secure attachment style, meaning in a way that really helps them feel like they can be more present with you.
I have to just mention something to you. I was on an airplane headed to New York City for a conference a couple weeks ago, uh-huh. and I just made friends with this lady on the plane, and she was telling me about her son, and they adopted him from Russia. And they adopted him when he was about 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And she was telling me how he is, she used the word, his personality. Because, of course, you know, our personalities can come from a combination of different things, too. But that he definitely, he was in a orphanage and didn't
yeah.
have that nurturing yeah. and that love in Russia. They were just pretty much put in a crib. They fed them. They kept them alive. But he didn't have that nurturing. And she says he is just a different breed. He yeah. acts different. He is he's a great kid, but he's distant. There's just something in him.
Yeah, she that's says, called an avoidant attachment pattern. So they underreact. They avoid contact because in the orphanage, they didn't have a safe person to hold them and cuddle them. Yeah. That's more
That's
of an extreme,
amazing.
A clinical diagnosis. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
yeah.
so it's interesting how important that when you talk about being in a relationship, you know, when you think about what, it really makes me think for a moment that it all happens from birth. And our parents, as we know, obviously are so important, but the nurturing starts at day one. And I guess you brought up another question. In terms of personality, when we talk about how we're wired and getting the nurturing from mom, dad, whoever is our caretaker, what about how much does personality play, Carolyn, in how much we're wired in a certain way, do you think?
The personality gets programmed in. There's a thing called the diathesis stress model. So the personality... It comes from genetics, they've proven. It also mm-hmm. comes from something called epigenetics, meaning your ancestors influence your personality. It comes from environment. It comes from maybe a spiritual component, who knows, or an energetic component. But it comes from a multifaceted, your level of resiliency, how, like, I was quite resilient in my family, but my brother wasn't so resilient, so he had more issues than I had. So the personality plays a role. So I've been married 33 years, and my brother got divorced and ended his relationship after just 5 years. So, you know, personality plays a huge role. And the attachment patterns influence the personality, but it's not the whole story.
I see. Okay, that makes sense that your personality would be part of how you're wired, too. So how you react, like, I'm very outgoing. I used to be very nervous. I'm not anymore. I'm just very high energy, and I'm wired that way. And the way I react in relationships, I've been trained, and I've also trained myself, keep it calm. That is not the old me. But you prove, I'm sure through your work and the work you do with your clients and coaches, that people can be trained also to react in different ways if the ways they're responding aren't working. So that leads us to deepening love and healing relationships. It leads us to, what if people aren't communicating or they are wired in a certain way and it's not working? So what are some of the solutions that you would recommend for people when they need to be healed and they're in these loving relationships, but they need healing from whatever? What do you recommend people start to do to begin to communicate better?
I think the first thing is to kind of notice, do you tend to over or underreact? So somebody who tends to underreact, it's going to, like you said, you were shy. You had to work hard to be more present. So you have to kind of know and self-assess, do you need to turn down the volume or turn up the volume in your relationship?
I wasn't shy. I needed to turn it down.
Okay. Some people are shy and they need to turn up the volume. So it's important to know which side of the balance you're on. Do you need to turn some down and turn up? And then I think the second thing that has helped my marriage last so long is I'm willing to be wrong. You know, I think it's hard to admit when you make a mistake. I think that's one of the hardest things. But if you're willing to be humble, I call us the humble human. If you're willing to be a humble human and really not have to prove anything, that goes a far way in helping long-term relationships. And a lot of times, the island or the under-responder is afraid to admit they do wrong. They often think that they're bad because their partner is more emotional and expresses their feelings and can talk about judgments or can't you do this differently. So the person that's the under-responder can often feel overwhelmed, like they're not good enough. And so there's a balance between saying, wow, I can admit when I'm wrong, and then the other half of admitting when you're wrong is being careful with yourself, self-care with yourself, and learn how to actually love yourself even when you're wrong. I find partners that and couples that stay together longest, each person is willing to self-soothe themselves when they've made a mistake and love themselves and not define themselves by their actions, but really own the energy of, you know, their bigger self, that they can make a mistake and still feel whole. And then along with that, I teach three skills of being an adult in a relationship, and that's the timing piece. When do you need to ask for help from the other person? Say, hey, can you give me something? Can you actually receive from your partner, which is a hard skill for many women. They just don't want to receive, but you can't really be happy if you can't receive from your partner. And then the second skill is, can you give to your partner? A lot of women are certain personality types are good at giving, so they can give, but they may not be able to receive. So learning how to give to your partner, learning how to receive from your partner are two really important skills. And then the third skill in relationship that kind of is a game changer is, when you want to demand from your partner and they're not able to give to you, can you give and support yourself? That self-soothe piece, that, I can support myself right now when my partner's not around. And those skills really have saved my marriage, made it last as long, and made me happier in the marriage.
Well, there's so many things here. First of all, what you said in the beginning was so important about, well, there's three things. Self-loving, I like the last piece about, because not everybody's on the same page at the same time.
Right.
So you want that partner to be there for you, but there are times they're going through a lot. And it says a lot when you can, when you have tools to be able to say, I'm going to be okay. Here are the things I know I need to do right now to make myself feel better. Maybe I need to take a break. Maybe I need to read a book. Maybe I need just a little time. Maybe I need to exercise. Whatever it is, you know, maybe I just need a night where I'm in bed early and letting, you know, myself get sleep, whatever it is. You have to really know thyself, as they say, is huge. But the loving yourself part, I mean, I talk about this constantly, is really everything. I used to be very defensive when I was younger because I didn't have self-confidence. And, you know, nowadays, if I'm wrong, I don't care at all admitting I'm wrong. I'm wrong, screwed up. But I think after a while, you have to believe in yourself. Be able to say, so I screwed it up, I'm human, I'm supposed to screw up.
Right.
And I think, you know, every time I say that, it puts other people or other person, takes them right off their seat. Like, people want to forgive. And when I say I screwed up, I'm really sorry, I did this wrong, or I was wrong, people tend to want to, how do I say this? In my experience, people tend to want to say, it's okay, or we'll get this done, don't worry. It lets everybody's guard down. It's such a great way to live, I think.
Well, another way of looking at it is we are wired to be like pack animals. We are wired to be in a tribe. So we want to forgive. We want to connect. Our wiring is set up also to support one another, because as cavemen, you know, if we weren't in a group and we were alone, one of us would get hurt or would die so much easier. So yes, you're right. We wanna connect, and we really wanna be in a pack. We wanna be connected. So yeah, it's really cool. I love that story. That's a really important lesson, that your value, your inner value or your ego or whatever you wanna call it, is not contingent upon being perfect. Perfection is not the litmus test for your inner value. You are valuable. That is a God-given or, you know, a nature. You're worthy. You were born worthy. And making a mistake is just human. That's beautiful. I love that story.
And a lot of people don't, because of the way they were raised often, I find, they carry all that baggage around. It comes from generations,
yeah,
as you say. And then they, you know, they don't believe that. I mean, I believed I had to produce, that word produce, or I wasn't worthy, because I'm from a heavy Midwestern work ethic background.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it takes a long time for a lot of people to feel guilty, to take a day. Like, I took a day, and I worked. And then in the afternoon, because I'm between teaching my classes at the college, and, of course, I have the Happiness Hangout. And I said, I could actually take a little bit of time and chill out. And I'm beginning to feel guilty about that again. And I think it's because my fiancé started a job where he doesn't have as much vacation as he used to. And I have to say, wait a minute, you got rid of all this guilt from the way you grew up, and now you're going to feel guilty again? So I want to, you know, try to do things for him so he, you know, feels really good when he gets home. But it, you know what, Carolyn? It creeps up if you don't watch.
It does, and that is called the negative bias of the brain. The brain goes to the old, it's called limbic, the old default, the old negativity bias from primal time, that we have to work, we have to work. You know, if you didn't work in caveman days, you would starve, right? So, or somebody in the tribe would say, hey, you have to work. So the negativity bias of the brain makes it so that you do have to keep on top of these things. Otherwise, that old pattern comes back. Absolutely.
Right. Well, it's good to be conscious of, and I would tell our listeners, to, as they think, to be very conscious about it. Let's talk about people. You know, you've been in a relationship for 33 years, which is amazing. I am getting married for the first time.
Wow.
And I am going to be one day into my 53rd birthday when I finally got married. So, and I'm writing a book about it. So it's actually in beta form. It's being read by beta readers right now. So I mean, I have a fiance, so I've been in relationship for over 4 years, and it's, you know, obviously we're getting married next month, and so I'm in that direction. What about people who, I mean, there's a couple other groups of people in relationships who want it to be the ultimate relationship, and people who aren't in one but want one. What sort of things around the work you do with energy and everything, what kind of advice would you give? And you can take those one at a time if you'd like.
So let's talk first about the one that wants to be in a relationship that isn't. You know, just as two magnets will pull toward each other if you have one end facing them, but if you turn the magnet around, it repels. So energetically, sometimes we pull toward us the wrong person, and we have to do something like called fix your picker. You know, we pick the wrong person. We draw into ourselves the bad guy or girl, the one that can't commit. And there's a way to shift your energy so that you start attracting, like, two healthy magnets drawn toward each other, the right person. And a lot of what shifts your energy to draw in the right person and manifest that right person is a lot of the stuff that we've talked about, is if your attachment system is more avoidant or pushes away the good person, you've got to heal and come into a deeper level of self-love within you. Mm-hmm. And as you deepen into that self-love, you can start seeing your patterns of, wow, I always pick the wrong person, or I pick somebody that can't really love me in the way I deserve. So shifting your energy within you and shifting your relationship to yourself really helps you shift your ability to attract somebody.
And you work with people to do that, right?
Yeah, I've worked with, like, I did this one session this week with a client who, you know, she always dates the wrong guy. And she's, like, you know, almost getting past the baby-making age, and she's, like, starting to get desperate. So I brought her into her body and helped her feel her energy, and she could feel the part of herself that her father used to have affairs. So she had she would attract boyfriends that would cheat on her, just like her father would cheat on her mom. Mm-hmm. So as we shifted the energy and she started feeling that she didn't have to repeat that pattern that she was kind of in the environment of during her childhood, it took about 6 or 7 sessions, but now she's dating a really great guy, and, you know, she believes in herself now, and she's picked somebody that actually believes in her, too. She would always pick somebody that she thought she was reaching toward, you know, and mm-hmm. that she didn't think she was good enough for, and so it was almost like confirming her lack of value when the guy would cheat on her. But this guy helps her confirm her own value, and she confirms her own value. And now she feels that even if he left, she would feel whole. And ironically, that creates the energy for somebody not leaving, right? Have you ever grasped towards something? And if you start grasping towards something, or somebody starts grasping towards you, don't you want to turn around and, wait, don't grasp toward me.
Run. You just want to run. Because nobody wants that kind of pressure put on them. And somehow we know, no matter who it is, even if we're not aware, we know. We run because it feels like we're going to get sucked up by it or something.
Right? Like they're going to suck us or invade us, or it's just too much work confirming somebody else's value. But if you go into a relationship knowing your value and inviting them to know their own value and meeting in the middle, are, as one poet would say, two strong pillars joined by a common roof. And so There's a way you can notice how you run your energy to either repel the right guy or attract the right guy or girl. And becoming aware of that and shifting your energy and shifting your sense of self and your relationship to yourself changes the whole dynamic. I mean, I get to go to weddings a lot because I help people deal with this. And then they get married and they're like, Carolyn, come to our wedding.
Well, yeah, because, you know, maybe without the intervention, would it have happened, or perhaps it would have happened much later. Like, you know, I didn't meet Ryan until I was 48, and I probably figured it out.
Right.
At about really figured it out. I always believe everything's a process, and I had been led up to that. But, you know, I was reading books thinking I could do it myself. I never reached out for help, realized I should have, but just didn't have the guts to do it. So I probably didn't get it till I was 47. I was getting it, but I ultimately reached it at 47, and I met Ryan 8 months later.
Right, it happens quickly. Once you get it, it's amazing
how quick
it can happen.
Yes, because you know, it's interesting. You have to feel it. There's no words to put to it. It's like something happens inside that shifts, and it may feel different for everybody. I only know how it felt for me when it happened, but when it happens, you know it because your existence changes, and it's such an exciting thing. And people always tell you, you can't love someone until you love yourself, and I thought, what the heck does that mean? I see lots of people together and being together, but what I've learned is over the years is even though they're together, it doesn't mean they have an amazing, wonderful, awesome relationship, and B, people start to bring in their stuff once they let down their guard and they bring in who they really are, and then there's the problems and they break up. So it's not that people can't get other people, it's just that where do the problems begin? You got to work through that stuff.
Right, and that's called, clinically speaking, secure attachment. It's when you're securely attached to your bigger self, and that energy of that bigger self is resonating, and you can feel the joy from the sensation of that bigger self in your body. You can feel that self-love and that joy of self-love as a sensation in your body, and it does. You're right. It can't just be in the mind. You have to really experience it.
And, you know, the interesting thing, too, is that whole thing. I was talking to someone. We always have this debate about, what do you mean other people, you don't need other people to make you happy. You have to be happy on your own. What I try to explain is, it's like if Ryan left, or God forbid was taken from me, passed away, whatever, it's not that a person doesn't feel devastation, but there's a difference, I think, between that and feeling whole. If you lose somebody and you feel like part of you is gone, that's different from losing somebody, realizing you're still whole, but feeling devastated about the loss of that important person in your life. Those are two different mindsets. And I think that's what some people, they don't understand the difference.
It's a huge difference, too. It shifts everything. And finding somebody that can help support that in your life is really nice. It's called a secure functioning couple. When two people get together and they don't just play out their negative stuff on each other but really heal it, you create a secure functioning. And that's when the energy vibrates at a coherent way instead of incoherent. Instead of like, you know, daggers, it's more like smooth rolling fields.
Did we cover the, if you have a partner, how to be in
yeah,
better
I thought, that? Can I just give a couple real quick tips on that?
Yes, please.
If you're already in a secure functioning relationship or a good relationship, it's important to really spend time noticing the qualities that drew you together. You know, what do I like about this person? what do we like about each other? And really spend time just really feeling that connection together. And then it's also good to look at what is working in the relationship. There's always bumps, but if what you focus on grows energetically. So if you focus on what is working, then you get more of what is working. It's not like you ignore the bumps. You just don't. It's called confirmation bias. You don't just look at what isn't working. You do it from the container and the strong structure and foundation of a good building of, wow, this is what we do right, and really make that conscious. And notice when sometimes we forget to notice when our partner does show up for us and we don't have to ask for help, but they just show up. Like the other day, my parents have gotten Alzheimer's and I had to move them out of their apartment into the nursing home, and my husband was away on business and he immediately flew home to help me through that process. I didn't have to ask him. He's just like, I'm coming home. And it's important to really say thank you to them. Wow, I noticed you showed up for me and I didn't have to ask. I just want to thank you so much for that. Yeah. And, you know, one last...
We forget to do it.
We forget to do it, right? But I think it's, you know, in a secure functioning relationship, to keep it secure functioning and healthy and joyful, I think it's important to take time out to do those little things. I mean, they don't sound big, but they are kind of big, you know?
They are big. They mean everything to people. Thank you, please. Catch them doing something right. I mean, I've learned all these things through the years. I use them all the time. And it's interesting because, you know, people eat that up. And I think it's because so many people don't do it. It just makes the person feel so good inside to be, people just want to be noticed. You know, just like Oprah says, people just want to be heard. And it's so true. They want to be appreciated. And even the smallest things, I say thank you and please too, because they mean something. I was alone for a very long time dating lots of people that weren't right for me. So how does someone like me turn my back and not be aware after everything I've learned and put it into practice? If I did that, I wouldn't, it wouldn't have meant anything if I didn't put it into practice. So, and I watch how he responds to that, and boy, if our listeners could take anything from what you and I said, it's that, the little things, like you said.
Yeah, and kind of relive the happy moments together. Like, you know, even tell somebody or tell your kids or your dog or a friend or each other how you met. It's always a fun story to relive, you know, those beginning moments of what drew you together, just to make them alive.
Mm-hmm. Right. And another thing I want you to talk about, if you would, is the 1-6 ratio.
So it's perfect timing asking me that. Every time they've done these studies on relationships, and this could be a relationship with, you know, an adult child or a teenager or a partner, but if you have what is called an attachment break, let's say you had a bad day, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or you only had 3 hours sleep because you were working so late, and you started yelling at your partner, why didn't you take out the trash? You know, I told you, don't you know it's Wednesday and we missed the trash? That's called an attachment break. Every time you have one attachment break, you have to do 6 attachment repairs, 6 times before their brain and energy system can really take in that you're a safe haven again.
Wow, really?
The 1-6 ratio is really important to think about in all of our relationships.
Wow. And, you know, we do have about 5 minutes left, and I do want to get to how people reach you. But I'd like you to, if you would, talk a little bit about we talk all about energy. Tell us about some energy exercises or anything you want to tell us about, chakras, energy exercises that you mentioned. Tell us about how we can use them, whether we're single with somebody or whatever situation. How can we do that?
So a quick and easy way of connecting and balancing your energy so that there's this thing called the vagus nerve. And when the vagus nerve, which runs through your face into your belly, have you ever gotten nervous about a relationship and had a belly ache?
Yeah.
It's because of the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve tells you that you can connect to somebody or you can't connect to somebody based on how it's regulated. So there's some fun energy games that you can do within yourself or with a partner that helps create the brain and biology of healthy connection. And so a quick and easy thing is called the body scan, where you take your hand and you start at the top of your head and you just kind of breathe and feel the touch of your hand on the top of your head. And that's a chakra is on the top of your head. It's the crown chakra. And just say, ah, and breathe and kind of hum and say, I love you. I love you, and just kind of feel the sensation of that love come in. And then you go down to the forehead, and you kind of breathe, feel the touch of your hand on your forehead. And again, just say, oh, sending you love, or I love you, or, you know, comfort, even saying the word comfort. And then move down to the neck. And these are all chakra points, the top of the head, the forehead, the neck, the heart area, the upper chest, the solar plexus, the right above the pubic bone, and the perineum. Just move your hand to those seven points and just send yourself love, connecting breath and awareness, relaxing into that, feeling the sensation of love flowing. I say front, back, top, bottom, left, right. Feel it flowing from the top of your body to the bottom, to the front of the body, to the back, front to the left of your body, and to the right, front, back, top, bottom, left, right. And just kind of send your love. And if you do that like three waves of going through your body, and it only takes like 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes, you'll just feel that vagus nerve will relax, and you'll feel much more safe being in love and relationship.
Well, thank you, Carolyn, so much for that. Now, tell us a little bit about what's going on with you, how we can find you, and what you
put. Yeah, so I have a free video that they can get talking about where they get that body connecting sequence, and I lead you through it. And if you go to mindenergybody.org/free, you can get signed up to get a bunch of free videos on how to shift your energy, understanding how the brain and body work, and how to have more joy and love in your life.
Now, is that M-I-N-D plural with an S?
No, it's mind, M-I-N-D, energy, E-N-E-R-G-Y, body, B-O-D-Y, .org/free. Mind, okay. M-I-N-D, energy, E-N-E-R-G-Y, body, body.org/free. And you can also email me with questions or wanting more information. I'll give the free videos out, and you can have a discount session. I'll give you a 50% discount session if you want to email me at Carolyn, C-A-R-O-L-Y-N, at mind, M-I-N-D, energy, E-N-E-R-G-Y, body, no spaces in between, .org. I can set you up with a 50% off discount session.
Well, thank you so much, Carolyn Eberle, for being on the Happiness Hangout. Love the information, so helpful to people, and again, appreciate your work so much.
Yeah, Lori, thank you. I appreciate you. Take care.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye. Humanity Thriving Out Loud, The Magic Happens magazine.
check it out at www.themagichappensnow.com. Remember, my book is coming out on August 8th, Getting Married at Last, My Journey from Hopelessness to Happiness, available on Amazon.com starting August 8th. Make sure you go to my website and check out the information. My website's getting revamped right now, but check it out and sign up for my Happiness Quick Read so I can tell you all about what's going on in happiness and relationships and the book. That's www.happinesshangout.net, www.happinesshangout.net. We'll see you next time on the Happiness Hangout.
Hi, this is your host, Lori. Want to get more happiness? Check out all the free readings, activities, and my blog at my website. Want to learn how to deal with life's challenges from your positive core? Check out Empowering Yourself to Happiness class, done totally online. You can find it all at www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net. Come explore and feel better wherever you are. This is Lori Peters with the Happiness Hangout. I provide presentations on happiness and well-being to businesses, schools, and anyone involved in wellness and professional days. Check out tons of free resources and activities also at my website, www.happinesshangout.net. Feel better wherever you are. Help us grow the Happiness Hangout Show. Become a sponsor. Businesses and nonprofits, get your info out there to thousands of my listeners all over the world for just pennies. Individuals can also sponsor one or more shows, and you get a shout out to your favorite charity. Several packages available. Come see what you get and put out there what's important to you. Go to www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net for more information.